Today is Pentecost, the birthday of the church. It is the birth of something special. That's something to marvel, the magical birthday story of the church. But that's not the story I'm going to tell today. I'm going to talk about the church that in many places has forgotten that it was built on the back of a bunch of frightened radicals that were bound together in spite of their differences so that a more loving and just world could be created and manifested. It is the birth of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church as the flame of God's presence or witness to the world that the unremarkable becomes remarkable when God's winds rush in. The church is ordinary people empowered to do extraordinary things. The church, where normal folks are united in the abnormal testimony of truth that says Jesus was alive, then he was dead, and then he was alive again. Here we are, the church gathered, awaiting the flame and wind of God. In our diversity, we are the heavenly language, the recognition that many can become one. So why does America seem amazed and perplexed in this era as to what it is we should or should not be doing? Here we are, celebrating Pentecost in America, but living with crazed evil seeming to occupy every corner of our existence. We are living in a day where young men and women are being shuttled to places far from their homes to protect freedoms in countries and territories that are similarly occupied by evil forces, because power or the drive to achieve it has corrupted the minds of people. Power has been turned into a commodity. America, the day after Pentecost. America, the day after, where a dangerous crisis of moral and political leadership at the highest levels of our government and in our churches is defaming the soul and integrity of this country at an electrifying and alarming rate. Here in America, on the day after Pentecost, we are mourning yet another body count of innocent youth because our leaders are pandering to fear and division instead of love and unity, pandering to xenophobes that seek to keep us separated because they are stronger when we are divided. As we look at this text, we need to be asking ourselves, what is it that causes us to forget that we have inherited faith? What is it that is driving certain religious leaders in this country to pander the notion to people that there is a cheap way, by way of hating our neighbor, to achieve righteousness, which is power in some people's minds in this country? Hasn't time shown us that it costs far more to hate than it does to accept? Here is the thing that keeps puzzling me, that whether we are looking at Pentecost from the perspective of the Old Testament at Sinai, which is the legal aspect of Pentecost, or whether we are viewing the Pentecost of Jerusalem in the New Testament, the evangelical part of Pentecost, whether we are viewing it as one being from the mountain and the other being from heaven, whether we view one as terrible and the other merciful, at either time or place, these were two great manifestations of God in this realm. And they both had something in common. The multitudes had come together. They were all gathered like we are on one accord. In each instance, there was a conjunction of company. Both minds and place were present for a purpose, and in each case, whether old or new, the people were confounded. So what is it with America today as we live in the celebration of Pentecost and the simultaneous after effect of what that day meant for us as the church? John Wesley puts it like this in one of his commentaries. He says, "The miracle was not in the ears of the hearers, as some have unaccountably supposed, but in the mouth of speakers. And this family, praising God together with the tongues of the entire world, was an earnest that the whole world should in due time praise God together in their various tongues." As we look at this from our current context, is the spirit of racism and hate stronger than the lingering power and authority of the Holy Spirit? What is missing? Could it be that the mouths of some of these religious types are no longer worded for deliverance because they would rather support destruction? Could it be they are no longer willing to proclaim the reclaiming message of Jesus? Could it be that what's missing in America, especially from the evangelical fringe, is the divine touch of God? Could it be that they are missing the conjunction, that place where what looks like flames of fire is actually the place where the tongue and the heart are penetrated by God at the very same time, creating a divine language which erupted so that they would all understand that not only was unity possible, but comprehension of each other was possible as well? If the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit becomes the first fruits of salvation, of our salvation, and the church is born into being as an intercultural, countercultural organism of resistance, then why are we attempting to deal directly with the people rather than the unclean spirits that are operating through these people? On that day, Peter stood up to clarify this seemingly confusing situation. And he says, "Listen carefully to what I say." This is what is taking place here today. This event is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Peter explains the explicit signs of God's grace. Old and tough barriers on that day were eliminated and erased. The Holy Spirit is no respecter of persons. It says young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. Gone are all the barriers. Prophecy, vision, dreams, and the gift of the Spirit are given to sons and daughters alike. What was an exception in the era of old no longer existed on that day. So why does it seem that America has forgotten its inheritance? Why has the church in many quarters forgotten how to be a cultural critique of itself? It's time for us to really get down to some serious business with God and use the power that he has given us, because America on the day after Pentecost is in a spiritual war. The wind, the power that rushed into that room on that day so long ago, was the dynamic power of God, the dunamis power of God, which is miraculous power, ability, natural capability, inherent power, capability of anything, ability to perform anything. It is absolutely not merely power capable of action, but power in action. It never refers to our strength or ability, but rather to God's power through us. This power is a power that forms our character. That is the Spirit, the apostles were baptized with on that day. And because of it, age barriers are gone. Gender barriers have been removed. Social barriers, educational barriers, racial barriers were all removed that day because the Holy Spirit includes and calls all God's people, the rich and the ragged, the scholar and the unschooled, the browns, the blacks, the whites, the reds, and the yellows, all called in God's dynamic mission of declaring the wonders of God in whatever strategic position God places them in. So what in the world is wrong with America? Why is the church allowing its own inheritance to be forsaken? Why has the church slipped into an insanity intoxicated by the unfiltered air of cultural commodification and utilitarian conversation, normalizing political malfeasance and debauchery? Where has the power of the worldwide witness that fell in that upper room gone? What is happening in our society is a direct result of feeding the machine of material success, a machine driven by personalities that speak of virtue but are neither intellectually nor virtuously credible. We are living in the tangled web of a church that for far too long has failed to live in reciprocity with the culture that produced it, and chosen instead to enjoin the practices of the hierarchical structure and cultural identity of the world around it. In a day and time when white callers call 911 and report that black people are engaged in what they report as untoward behavior, it seems that the church in many instances has lost the ability to hold the tension between its role as countercultural and contextual. If we believe that on that day the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh, then the church must return to its task of probing the message of Jesus in meaningful ways that become life-giving rituals. Peter is communicating to us on this day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit comes both in judgment as well as in grace. The wind, the fire, and the tongues not only illustrate that the Holy Spirit has powerfully invaded our humanity with the Lord's prophetic word of grace, these signs also offer a prelude to the way we have to rethink the way we have to show up. If we don't, the primary functions of our spiritual gatherings will simply be personality-driven entertainment designed to captivate crowds. It's time to stop judging one another. It's time to stop thinking that we're better than one another. It's time for parents to train and teach their children to love all mankind, and for parents to stop acting like children. It's time for pastors to take responsibility and stop misleading and indoctrinating people with a religion that is inappropriate based upon their own beliefs. The Holy Spirit has come. Pentecost means grace has broken in upon us. We are part of the mighty movement of this age of the Holy Spirit. We will prophesy. We will see visions. And we will dream dreams. So, yes, we must rethink the way we show up, or else there will be no motivation to present people with truth. No motivations to assist people in producing wholeness, and no reason for the faithful to remain faithful. Pentecost means that this world is set ablaze. A new era has been ushered in. It's an era of grace and salvation. That is the mission of evangelism. While it may seem that we are living in an era of impending judgment or darkened suns and blighted moons of blood and fire and billows of smoke, listen, Peter said. Hear the urgent call for all of you are those who have ears to hear. The time is now. Today is still the day of grace. That's the good news of Pentecost. Even in the midst of sitting presidents referring to people as animals, the Holy Spirit continues the ministry of Jesus. Even in the midst of the polluted minds of people who believe barbecuing or getting an education or drinking coffee or moving into your apartment or staying at an Airbnb, inspecting an investment house, eating at a Waffle House, or sleeping in the common room of a college dormitory while being black is a crime. The Holy Spirit continues the ministry of Jesus. It's a ministry of salvation, a ministry of hope, a ministry of renewal and refreshment. Jesus is, he sits high, and he sits on the right hand and right side of God. But his ministry is empowered by the Spirit that continues through Peter and John and Thomas and Paul and each and every one of us this day. Jesus' ministry continues through young black men and women and all sorts of men and women who dream dreams, whose sons and daughters see visions. It continues. And while innocent Palestinians are being gunned down through Russian collusion and racist ranting about languages being spoken in public, Jesus' ministry continues in America the day after Pentecost. Today, we cry loud for that very Spirit to refresh us and revive us, because the journey is still fraught with treacherous terrain. Amen.